a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show. Broadcasting live from BB's Tex Orleans in Katy as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
See ya! Thank you very much, Chris Farley. Appreciate you topping that off. Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show. It is Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Ask Gallant anything Friday. August 8th of 2025. I'm Paul Gallant. Sean Mapes is back at Mission Control. B-Mac is out with me here at BB's Cajun Cantina. A restaurant that says Cantina in the name? Ooh, you know what I'm going to do. We're at BB's Cajun Cantina, and I'm sitting next to something that looks like an alligator. And I'll probably be having myself a po' boy at some point, perhaps a little booze on top of all of it. So that was one of many moments in Astros history where they have given the New York Yankees a big ol' spankin'. 5 stars to the Keister. 2019, Game 6 of the ALCS. The Astros have beaten the Yankees not once, not twice, not 3 times, but 4 times in playoff series. And they have some moments in the regular season as well where they have pantsed New York. Like, the 2 times that they have thrown, yes, 2 combined no-hitters against the Yankees. So over the course of today's show, what we're going to do is go back down memory lane and remember some of our favorite moments where the Astros shoved the Yankees into a locker. What is on the table for the Astros this weekend? Well, fighting to stay on top of the American League West. The lead is now 1.5 games because the Astros didn't play last night and the Mariners got yet another win. Thanks for nothing, Chicago White Sox. Meanwhile, the New York Yankees are scraping. They are struggling, just trying to stay right now in the wild card race. Because in case you didn't know, they have been overtaken by not just the Toronto Blue Jays, who have the best record in baseball with 68 wins and just outscored the Colorado Rockies 45-0 over a 3-game series with a 20-1 win to cap it all off. The Red Sox are also 2.5 games ahead of them in the American League East. So they, the Yankees, in a AL that has probably, I would say at this moment in time, doing a little math here, 8 playoff caliber teams, if you're counting the 3 division leaders, the Astros, the Tigers, and the Blue Jays, plus in the wild card race, the Red Sox, Mariners, Yankees, Guardians, Rangers. The Yankees, as things currently stand, would be the last team in the playoffs with a 1.5-game lead on the Guardians. But things are seemingly falling apart for them, and on the table for the Astros this weekend in the Bronx is an American History X curb-stopping opportunity. Or maybe you're a Gears of War person, if that's too dated a reference for you. All you gotta know is, does it seem to go so well? There was a Sopranos episode where a curb-stomping happened. The guy didn't die there. I don't know that you necessarily die if you get curb-stomped every single time. But your teeth are definitely not doing so hot after the fact. And on top of that, you are probably, you know, gonna be, I would imagine, in a wheelchair, if not a bed, on a ventilator for the rest of your life. But the Astros have a chance to do that.
Paul, that's so graphic. There's children listening. It's the lunchtime hour. I'm eating. I don't want to think about Edward Norton as a Nazi curb-stopping that one guy in American History X. Well, guess what? That's what the Astros could do to the Yankees.
Doesn't it seem like a much better visual when you think about it like that? So, that's on the table for the Astros against the New York Yankees. Do we want to do a Yankees watch? Should I speak as if I'm some buffoon from the Bronx or from North Jersey or from anywhere in the greater New York area? Should I do that? I certainly think I could. So screw it. Let's do a little improv here on the Paul Gallant Show. Another episode of Yankees Watch.
Yankees Watch!
The roof open kind of killed us.
I threw a great pitch. So, I don't know, they got a lot.
I'm not going to make excuses. They did go into the playoffs a bit healthier than us.
2025!
We want Houston! They asked for Houston. They got Houston.
Hey, I'm going to Yankee Stadium this weekend. I'm going to watch a couple of games with the Bombers. They're taking on the New York... wait a second, the Houston Astros, that's the other team. Sorry, I had a few this morning. I dropped my kid off at school, and I was hammered in the parking lot when I did that. Hey, you know, I got my Timberlands on, I got my wife beater on, I got my Jorge Posada jersey on, I'm wearing Timberlands that I bought from Target, and these Timberlands, I'm telling you, they're probably knockoff, and I'm going to go to the park, and you know what I'm going to do? Gonna go up to the upper levels. Oh, and do what that one guy was doing with that Phillies fan girl. Or maybe it was the other way around. I don't know. All I know is I'm gonna have myself a time because the Yankees are probably gonna have what happened to that girl happen to them this weekend. Not good, no bueno. Gabagool. I hope the Astros don't hurt me too much.
And there you go. That's a Yankees watch. It was okay. There's a lot going on here at BB's Cajun Cantina. Love it when that happens. Anyway, you want to jump in on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday, you know how to do it. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. You can also get aboard on the ESPN Houston app, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, or on Twitch at ESPN 975. From the 409, a texter says, however, every time you guys down the other team, the Astros end up losing the series. Yes, that is true. From time to time, we overlook the opposition. But I think it's totally fine to overlook this Yankees team. It's not my fault if the Astros don't do what they're supposed to do. The Yankees are circling the drain of the toilet. They are a garbage pile, dumpster fire, whatever you want. That's what they are at this moment in time. So, yeah, I'm overlooking them. And the Astros should take care of business because this Yankees team, outside of Aaron Judge, who was out there playing hurt, really is not living up to snuff. They don't have great starting pitching, and they don't have great hitting either. You want to jump in on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Hugh Dab asks, was that a drunk Joel impersonation? Hey, that's not nice. No, that was a bad version because there's some talking going on of Andrew Dice Clay doing what he generally used to do when he was doing stand-up back in the day. So that was a bad Andrew Dice Clay, and I do imagine, even though I lived in New York for a little bit, Syracuse University, which is in upstate New York, I do imagine all New Yorkers talking like that and walking like that. And that truly is how New York Yankees fans are, like the stereotype image. It's kind of like the stereotype image of a Dallas Cowboys fan. They both like to rock the boots. Cowboys fans, the stereotype, you know, you're going to have probably a Troy Aikman jersey on, but maybe an 88. They are wearing jorts with the Timberlands and a Cowboys jersey, and then they've got, like, the thin, really gross chin strap beard going on. Like, that's a Cowboys fan. Before a Yankees fan, instead of the Cowboys jersey, it's usually some Yankee dynasty jersey. I would say generally it's Jorge Posada, and they will wear some sort of wife beater underneath with, like, a fake chain that they probably got at Target for $35. Nothing's anything wrong with that, you know. Chain be a chain. If your chain gets snatched when it's like $1,000 versus when it's $35, big difference. And when you're in the Bronx, you know, you might be fighting all the time. After all, Jennifer Lopez did write that song, Don't Be Fooled by the Rocks That I Got. I'm Still Jenny from the Block. She was implying that it's like a tough, hard place. So that's why Yankees fans generally have fake chains on, a Yankee jersey that they probably also bought at like Walmart or something like that. Maybe it was Target. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's probably like not the, you know, authentic brand. And then they got a Yankees hat on, the wife beater underneath. And sometimes they do wear jorts along with their Timberlands. So there you go, guys. That's the stereotype. Anyway, it is the Paul Gallant Show. You want to jump in on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday, you can. 713-780-3776 to call the text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975 for the 832. One thing Boston and Houston fans hold in common, the Yankees suck. Yes. Yes. You got, I like, that's my favorite part about the Astros being in the American League, is that one of their rivals in the playoffs has been the Yankees, because that has made it just so easy for me to pile on. I can't stand them. From the 817, Toronto doesn't have the best record in baseball. Dumbass, check the Brewers. Okay, well, you're calling me dumbass. First off, you're a dork for knowing anything that's happening in the National League, which isn't a real league. The National League sucks. Every team in the National League, frauds. Check out the Astros' record in interleague play. All of them suck. You think I need to know what the Brewers' record is? Kiss my ass. The AL is where it's at. And the Blue Jays have the best record in the American League. American. You sound like a communist that hates the United States of America. Oh, it's the best team in Major League Baseball. Kiss my ass. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. We're off to a rollicking start. B-Max laughing. You can tell I'm very hyper. A lot of caffeine has been consumed because I was on TV this morning on Fox 26. You know how to get in. We're going to keep on remembering all the fun moments in time between the Astros and Yankees, where the Astros shoved them into a locker. What's your favorite memory? Also, what the hell is going on with the Texans' safety position? One of them tore his ACL. Oh, wait, he didn't. And the other got arrested. This is all in like 5 hours. What the hell's going on? Paul Gallant Show live at BB's Cajun Cantina. Stay put.
97.5. Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from BB's Tex, Orleans, and Katy as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Blazer. Here's a fly ball into right. Back at the wall. This game is over.
Awesome.
Game two of the 2019 ALCS. Carlos Correa walks off the New York Yankees. There's so many highlights that we can go through when it comes to the Astros ending New York. And it is pretty amazing that so many of them have happened in the postseason, with the Astros only being in the American League, what, since 2011? I mean, they moved to the American League weeks after I moved here. That's what I remember. One of the first shows that I did, I ended up, I think, having Jim Crane in studio. It was me and Barry Warner. And it was a very cool opportunity. I don't think I was supposed to have it. I think there was some beef going on between Barry and his co-host Fred at the time. And I was just caught in the middle of it. Anyway, how things have gone since then have been truly incredible. Jim Crane and the Astros ownership done a hell of a job putting a winner together, even if maybe behind the scenes everyone isn't happy in the toy factory. So, what's your favorite memory from Astros Yankees over time? Hit us up on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. We'll work them in. Also, it's an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. Ask any question. We'll work it into the show. It has been quite the 24 hours for the Houston Texans, specifically at the safety position. I don't think there's been as eventful a 24 hours at safety for the Texans since the day of 2013 second-round pick DJ Swearinger, a safety out of South Carolina who had the awesome online social media handle of Jungle Boy Swag. For those who don't remember, Swearinger was just a goofball. But he had two moments that I will never forget off the field. One time his dog bit Jadeveon Clowney. Two, he took his truck to get some upgrades, and he ended up taking it without paying, and he put about $20,000 worth of upgrades in it. So for a little bit, DJ Swearinger had stolen his own car. But I think that all got resolved. I enjoyed him. He was honest, and part of him might have been the reason. His existence on the Texans might be the reason that they moved away from that pallet grass field, because he was the one that said that in Jadeveon Clowney's first game, he stepped in the middle of a divot between the pallet grass system that the Texans had at Energy Stadium. They used to not have like grass that was natural. They used to have like this pallet grass. So they used to not have turf. They used to have this pallet grass system where essentially it was like actual grass, but they brought it in on pallets, and then they would put all the pallets together. And from time to time, players would get caught in the pallets and suffer catastrophic injuries, like D'Amico Ryans and Brett Hartman. So DJ Swearinger was the safety for a while.
Paul, this is a long story. No one cares. It was 10 years ago. Get to the point.
Well, with DJ Swearinger, things were always crazy. Because of that possibility that he might have a dog bite his teammate and, you know, taking the car back without paying. But over the last 24 hours, yesterday we saw C.J. Gardner-Johnson, prize acquisition of the Texans this offseason, seemingly suffer a serious injury that required him to be carted off of the field in West Virginia. It was reported later on by Aaron Wilson of Channel 2 that C.J. Gardner-Johnson had torn his ACL. But then after that, all sorts of different NFL reporters said that it wasn't actually torn. Schefter did it. Pro Football Talk did it. Ian Rappaport did it, which led to Wilson deleting the post and clarifying that the Texans are still conducting more tests for C.J. Gardner-Johnson. He has not torn his ACL. They're trying to figure out the actual extent of the damage. If we figure it out this afternoon on the show, we will be the first to let you know. An astute Texans fan pointed out online that C.J. Gardner-Johnson has been, in the not-too-distant past, carted off of a training camp practice field before, and it's turned out that he had no structural damage. This happened in July when he was playing with the Detroit Lions in 2023. So maybe this is that just happening again. We'll see what happens with C.J. Gardner-Johnson. His probably backup, Jimmy Ward, you might remember, got arrested a few weeks ago, and he has not been out at practice as far as I can tell, either because he's dealing with these legal issues or he is dealing with some sort of injury. But Ward had been booked in June on charges of assault, family violence, impeding breath and circulation, which is a third-degree felony. Yesterday, he tested positive for alcohol. So I guess there was some sort of restriction as part of him not being in jail as he waits to, you know, see if these criminal charges stick, where he was supposed to, I guess, not drink for a little bit of time. So he got arrested again and was required to spend the night in jail. He's also rehabbing from an off-season foot surgery, and he's on the PUP list. His lawyer said this yesterday, quote, "There was no contact with the complainant, the person who filed those charges of assault against him. The court has a zero tolerance policy. As a sanction, he has to spend overnight in jail. There are no new allegations against Jimmy." Okay, but he did get arrested again, and the Texans' safety that everyone wants to see out there, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, might have torn his ACL. Wait, he didn't, but he did hurt his knee. We don't know what's going on. So you could definitely say right now, the Houston Texans' safety position isn't so safe. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. It is an Ask Alon Anything Friday. You can ask me any question, and I'll work it into the show. We are remembering our favorite moments from Astros Yankees over the year. Someone texted in a little bit ago, "Start spreading the news.
They're losing today. Don't want to be a part of it. New York, New York.
That's alternative lyrics for Frank Sinatra's New York, New York, which they play at the end of every single New York Yankees game. More texts, favorite moments from Astros and Yankees. From the 845, Astros fans only support their team when they're winning. That's the stereotype for Houston fans. Yeah, that's cool. Baseball's boring, guys. You want to support a loser baseball team with all these terrible owners? No. I like that we're a bandwagon sports town. We only care about what matters. We have lives, you see. Growing up in the Northeast, I didn't have a life. I don't think it's that cool to be a diehard sports fan and live and die with your team when the team blows. When they suck, like, they are stealing your money if you're going to a game and they're not being competitive. They're a corporation. They're a product. Now, I have become this way because I cover sports, and I am no longer the sports fan that I once was, where being a Boston sports fan was my entire identity. But having left Boston, I realized what loser behavior it was to base my entire identity on being a Boston sports fan. And, I mean, from time to time you hear it. Like, it still comes out every now and then. I'm a person that's, I guess, struggling, you know? I'm basically in rehab every day on the air, and whenever a story comes up about the Patriots or the Celtics that's exciting, I have to keep it in my pants. And Sean Mapes has to basically find ways to get a fire hose out and cool me down, put some cold ice water on me so that I relax, you know? And now I'm not that guy, though, for the most part anymore, you know? So I have no issue with Houston being a bandwagon sports town. Yeah, follow the strong. That's what we do here. You have to get us to care. What do we got? From the 713. Paul, you claim the show is the most interactive sports talk show. Killer Bees claim the same thing. What if they said that? I need to know who copied who. Killer Bees deflected the question. I've been doing this since the Gallant Night days in 2015.
Not to call that texture a liar, but we have never once ever claimed to be the most. We have fun with it, calling ourselves the second most interactive.
Oh, okay, that's fair.
Never claimed that.
I mean, to be fair, you guys definitely get more callers and texters because it's the afternoon
Jeremy
hour.
Reads a lot of texts.
Yeah. I try to get as many as I can in, but sometimes I get the ADD and I forget. Okay, this is another thing that happens amongst our listeners, is that they will throw fodder at us.
Try to divide us.
That didn't actually happen. Yeah. Right, and it leads to us getting mad at each other and stuff. We get along. All of us get along, you know? Like, when the Killer Bees and I had beef a couple of weeks ago, like, I got my rant out, and that was it. I was over it. I was over it right there, you know?
You did have some fun yesterday, though.
Yeah, I did. But I came back in, you know, you guys were talking about it.
No, it was fair. It was fair.
From the 832, that's why I'm a Patriots, Chiefs, and Eagles fan. I only support winning teams. Hell yeah, I love it. See, I have respect for that. From the 281, why don't you audition for the safety position? Heard you were pretty solid in Florida. That's true. I do talk about that all the time. Yeah, I would be terrible at the NFL level. Terrible. I've made the mistake of, like, drunkenly talking to NFL players and thinking that I actually could beat them in a race. Like, one of my friends asked me point blank, and I took a really long time to answer. And I was like, well, I do want to know. And they're like, of course you'd lose. And I was like, yeah, but I do want to know. And all the NFL players, these were all players for the Rams, who were like practice squad players. And they all started clowning me. And I was very sad. And I became a little bit of a recluse the rest of the night.
isn't there like a defense alignment for the Buccaneers right now that's like 450 pounds? Surely you could be him. Like, I've seen the stories of he's having to lose weight before he can practice. There's guys in the league you could beat.
I think that there are certain linemen I could beat, but I definitely, like, I am no longer running sub 5. I am slightly over 5 for a 40 time the last time I ran it. I used to be able to run a 4.8, but that was like 10 years ago, you know? And in high school, it was probably like a high 4.7 or something like that. Someone texts in, does Brian ever go home? Take a break. You do work hard, sir. You do work hard. Respect. Anyway, it is an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Ryan Lost in Texas says, I think Paul wears shades on remotes so he doesn't have to make eye contact with anyone. Yes, that's why I wear shades when I'm driving, too. If I'm at an intersection, I don't want to feel guilty when I turn away from the homeless person panhandling, you know? I do feel bad for them, but I don't want to make eye contact. Because then I feel bad, and then like they come over, and I'm like, no, I don't have any cash. That's why I do that.
There's especially that one guy near the station who flips his hat. I'm sure you've seen him right there at the corner of Richmond and 59.
No, there's that. And then there's
Richmond at 610.
There's another guy that's at, where is it? It's on, I think it's either Fountain View and Chimney Rock, or Chimney Rock, and right by 59. And right under that underpass, there are guys, and they're very aggressive about, like, wanting to wipe the window for your car.
Yeah.
And you always have to tell them no. Like, they will just do it. And the problem is, you can tell from time to time that whatever they're using is not, like, a cleaning solution, so it leaves streaks. And you're like, hey, man, not only did I not want this, I definitely don't want to pay for it, but now there's streaks in my car. So you have to tell them no. So you have to make eye contact there. So I got to take the glasses off and be like, no, no, no. Like I'm the T-1000 in Terminator 2. Anyway, it is an Ask Alon Anything Friday. We are live at BB's Cajun Cantina on an Ask Alon Anything Friday. You know how to get aboard. 713-780-3776 to call the text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. We are remembering all the best moments from Astros Yankees. Also, football officially back. With some fun happening last night, AFC South, one team, they might be in last place this season if this is what they're getting from the most important position on the field. We'll talk about it. Stay put.
It's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from BB's Tex, Orleans, and Katy. As part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Struck him out. 2-0. 2-2. Castro strikes out. The 0-2. 1-1. One out away from a save in Game 7. Bird into center. Springer says he's got it. The Houston Astros win the pennant.
That was awesome.
It was awesome. Honestly, that might have been my favorite night as a Houston sports fan ever when the Astros won Game 7 of the ALCS. I had gone to Game 6. The Astros were down 3-2. Verlander threw a gem. He's had a couple of playoff gems against the Yankees. And then Lance McCullers struck out 6 Yankee batters, retired the last 6 batters he faced by throwing 24 consecutive curveballs. And whenever you guys get all pissy at Lance McCullers, which is understandable given the contract, but it's not his fault the Astros gave him that contract. Get mad at the Astros about the contract. Please remember that moment. It's an iconic Astros moment. I think a lot of people have put it way too far back. That happened. It's one of the most important moments in Astros history, what McCullers did in that game. He was lights out, and remember the relief issues the Astros were having in that postseason? I mean, nothing came easy. So to put McCullers in that spot and for McCullers to do what he did, you can see why someone like Jeremy Booth is still beating the drums all these years later that Lance McCullers should be a reliever. We'll see if we see him again this season, though. Anyway, it's an Ask Alon Anything Friday. We had some football yesterday. Let's just tell you everything that happened really quickly. First off, Anthony Richardson is already hurt. So guess what? He already has a get out of the doghouse online excuse card. Did you see him getting hit? He got smoked in a Ravens-Colts game last night about halfway through the first quarter, and he had to leave the game for Daniel Jones because he dislocated his right pinky. The picture is online, and all I can say is, his pinky in his right hand is bent at a 45-degree angle. It's going to sound a little bit barbaric, but if Richardson wants to win his teammates back, he has to play in the next preseason game. I think he has to show he has more toughness than he did last season, where he checked himself out on a third and long in that game against the Texans. If you're a quarterback, you got to play through pain. Even if that pain involves dislocating your pinky, which was leaning off to the side at a 45-degree angle. you've got to get back in there. The funny thing is, too, when it comes to Anthony Richardson, is that everyone is not saying, hey, oh, man, he just got crushed. Everyone's saying, oh, yeah, he made a terrible read on that play. And he did. He should have checked it down. He is not good at reading the field. He's got athleticism and he's got a cannon, but I think the Colts whiffed with this one. So I think we're going to see a lot of Daniel Jones and Anthony Richardson. Richardson, for his part, does think he will be back by next Saturday, so we'll see. Also, what else happened in the preseason last night? The C.J. Gardner-Johnson trade doesn't look so great for the Texans right now, except for you realize they traded Kenyon Green to get him. And C.J. Gardner-Johnson, we'll see if he's out for the rest of the season. It does seem like he did not tear his ACL, but C.J. Gardner-Johnson for Kenyon Green's already a win because, one, Kenyon Green got called for a hold very quickly for the Eagles last night in their game against the Cincinnati Bengals as he was in there trying to figure out a way to make a roster. And two, he got hurt moments later and carted off with an injury. So the Kenyon Green era of Philadelphia Eagles football might already be over. Kenyon Green might already be at a point right now where the Eagles are out on him. I feel bad for Kenyon Green. I do. But it's just not working out for him at the NFL level, and that was a pretty bad pick in the first round by Nick Caserio. What else happened? Football's back. Ravens cornerback Bill Alcone. Did you see that injury? Oh, my God. This was in Ravens-Colts. People thought the Anthony Richardson injury was bad, where his pinky's at a 45-degree angle sideways. But this injury, even worse. He tore his ACL, and there's a video from the end zone angle that shows his leg just, like, dangling up in the air as he's rolling up. It is the worst thing I've ever seen. Do not look at it. I'm telling you right now, do not look at it. Look at Anthony Richardson before that if you do need to look at an injury today because you're a sicko. Some rando players are getting glazed by all the football dorks. Tanner McKee, Eagles backup quarterback. He could be a starter somewhere. He ran a successful two-split. There was a lot of that crap online with the football dorks. I saw Ben Solak posting it, and I was like, oh, okay, well, this means he's automatically wrong. There's dumb penalties. Seahawks played the Raiders. It was Pete Carroll's homecoming. And a bunch of veterans got penalized for coming onto the field when a couple of backups got interceptions. Jameis Winston, shout out to Jameis. He got the Giants out of a walkthrough practice by throwing a ball and hitting a crossbar. Gotta say, watch this. Do not watch the injuries. Because Jameis looked off to the side, asked everyone, hey, we going to Bible study later? And then threw the ball without really looking at it for more than a split second and hitting the crossbar directly. It's a hell of a throw. Jameis is fun. I hope Jameis gets to play for the Giants this season. Russell Wilson, I'm out. It's fun when the Giants have clown cars at quarterback. Except for, I didn't like Tommy DeVito because he was bad at Syracuse. And it did feel like it was some anti-Italian discrimination going on, or just leaning into Italian stereotypes. But I would love to see Jameis Winston, old crab legs himself, playing for the Giants this year. It is an Ascalon Anything Friday, 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. Let's answer some Ascalon Anything Friday questions. Paulie, does your cat lord over you when you clean the litter box? No, she is terrified. When I open the litter box up, it's like she thinks I'm a predator that's found her. Because that's why cats like bolt out of the litter box, if you've ever noticed that. She does lord over me when I am dropping the kids off, though. Another texter. Paul, if you could be one of the few people that walked on the moon or the first white safety. Wait, am I white? I don't see color. To win MVP and Super Bowl MVP. Some people say I'm black Irish. I'm not even kidding. That's a thing. Jennifer Connelly. Colin Farrell. Which would you choose between those two? That is tough. I mean, if I walk on the moon, I can flex that to everybody. But I would be able to live in that glory day moment of having an amazing MVP and Super Bowl MVP season. Yeah, it's the latter. Because I don't think do astronauts get paid? You probably don't have to buy a drink again. But I'm assuming NASA didn't pay all those awesome astronauts who landed on the moon that much money. Where I think if I'm the Super Bowl MVP and on top of that regular season MVP as a safety, I am God himself. Like, I'm better than Ed Reed if I'm that good. So I'm assuming that I would reset the market and make a lot of money. So I'm going to take that. Yes, I'm taking football over the moon. Misplaced priorities, some would say. 409 Josh asks, if Arch doesn't get Texas to the national championship game this season, what will the Texas fan Quinn Ewers haters have to say? That's a good question, Sean. What do you think? Putting you on the spot. Great point. Anyway, it is the Paul Gallant Show. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call up the text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975 on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. There was an epidemic ruining one of the sports being played right now. I mean, it's really ruining it. It's kind of funny. Shouldn't be funny. Stick around. We'll talk about it. It's the Paul Gallant Show.
You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from BB's Tex, Orleans, and Katy as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Broken back towards short, backhanded, throw nowhere. Astros win! Astros win! J.J. Maniszewski puts the ball in play, and the Astros walk off the New York Yankees 3-2.
That was awesome.
Imagine getting walked off by some guy you can't even pronounce the name of. Because I wouldn't. I would have a tough time with that. Todd Callis nailed it there, Space City Home Network. Sean, what year was that from? I mean, there's so many moments of Astros over the Yankees. I honestly do not remember. Was that 2021?
I think.
Was that 2018?
I think this was 2021 or two.
Okay.
This is all the sound is from when we did one of these from 2022.
Right. Leading up to the playoffs,
yeah. So most of these are from 2022 and before. There might be a 23 in here. But I think J.J. whatever. I think he was 22 or 23. So,
okay.
A couple years ago.
We would definitely take JJ over some of the Astros taxi squad guys that were playing.
For the younger listeners out there, he was Cooper Hummel before Cooper
Hummel. Yeah, he's your big brother, Zach Short. It's an Ask Gallant Anything Friday, Astros Yankees this weekend. I'm very excited. I really want the Astros to just end New York. I don't know if they'd officially end them because the Yankees are in a spot right now where I think they're very clearly the last wild card team. The other teams that are competing with them for those three spots, I guess maybe Texas. It's between them and Texas for that last spot. But there's seven or eight teams in the American League right now that have a pulse. The Yankees' pulse is getting fainter by the day. So the Astros with a sweep in the Bronx, oh, that would be delicious. So I'm asking for one. Nay, I am demanding one. And sometimes when I demand a sweep from the Astros, that's when they give it to me. Remember when they were terrible last year, and then I said, sweep the Orioles, and they did. And then the rally began for the Astros to win yet another American League West. We don't talk about the playoffs. We don't do that. Hey, the WNBA, it's a sport, and we talk about it from time to time. I don't think we have time to throw the introduction in here, Sean, but there's a problem going on in the league where countless devices used to bring women pleasure have been thrown on to the court. Here are all the incidents to this point. July 29th, 2025, in an Atlanta Dream Golden State Valkyries game. August 1st, 2025, in a Golden State Valkyrie Chicago Sky game. These are when there were bright green ones thrown. August 1st in an Atlanta Dream versus Washington Mystics or the Phoenix Mercury. They're not 100% sure. I don't know why they put two teams in. I asked AI to keep track of all this, but a green toy was thrown onto the cordoned off court after the game. A man was arrested and charged with disorderly conduct. August 5th, Fever versus Sparks. Green toy thrown on the court. Kelsey Plum kicked it. August 5th, Mercury versus Connecticut Sun. Green toy thrown from the stands, hitting a man and his 9-year-old niece in the crowd. Whoa, ricochet action? Goodness gracious. Some believe it was aimed at a Phoenix Mercury player. An 18-year-old was arrested and charged with misdemeanor, disorderly conduct, and assault, calling it a stupid prank. Also on August 5th, Liberty versus Dallas Wings, a toy was thrown from the stands but landed in the crowd. And then on August 6th, which is Wednesday, in a Storm Lynx game, a toy was reportedly supposed to be thrown, but the individual did not attempt it. Then you have yesterday, Atlanta Dream versus Chicago Sky. A toy was thrown onto the court during the game. Supposedly, two were thrown. Only one made it to the court. I mean, this is crazy. This is over the course of what? Less than 10 days? And I don't even know how to keep track of all those that I just listed. I think we're at 9, but there's probably been more thrown at this moment. It's kind of getting crazy. Supposedly, there's a no-bag policy as well, so you got to wonder how some people are smuggling these things in. I feel bad for the WNBA. This is a prank that, at this point, I think is old. I know some people are going to laugh at it, but this is the problem that the WNBA has. They don't know how to fight something like this. All they could really do is embrace it and hope that people stop. Instead, you've got the Minnesota Lynx coach saying, "We got to do something. We got to do something." Here is Lynx coach Cheryl Reeve.
Things onto the court. Obviously, you guys know what the object is. And I just want to comment on this has been going on for centuries. The sexualization of women. This is the latest version of that. And it's not funny. And it should not be the butt of jokes on any radio shows.
Or
in print or in any comments. The sexualization of women is what's used to hold women down. And this is no different. This is just its latest tool. And we should write about it in that way. And these people that are doing this should be held accountable. And we're not the butt of the joke. They're the problem. And we need to take action.
I don't like her holding radio in such low regard. They shouldn't be making jokes about it on the radio. And by the way, we're not making jokes about it on the radio. We are just talking about it happening. I'm not Clay Travis out there. Clay Travis seems to be inciting it without kick. The coverage. Legitimately inciting it. No, what we are doing is just talking about how it keeps happening. And I truly feel bad for them because it must suck to be playing a sport that you love and people take your league so unseriously that they're doing this. But the Minnesota Lynx coach combating this in that way is not going to help. More people are going to do it if you're going to talk about it like this and say, oh, this is the sexualization of women. No, these are just drunk idiots. That's what it is. This is not that. And I think the proper approach, once again, how about Sophie Cunningham of the Indiana Fever, who we all came to know because she decked somebody to defend Caitlin Clark, looking at this the exact right way, which is all you can do is laugh at it. And if you laugh at it, people will probably stop.
They literally text me after or before every single game, like saying good luck, like da-da-da, you know? And my mom, I'll send it so everyone can see this, but my mom, she goes, instead of like my good luck text, she goes, watch out for flying tonight.
That's how you handle it. You laugh at it a little bit and people will stop. That's all you can do. Take it from somebody who has been canceled. All you can do is say, I stand by what I said, but it's pretty funny that I'm getting crushed online. A couple days later, people move on. Instead, you do have enough players that are getting mad about it, and I think that is going to lead to more. It's dumb how that works, but this is what the internet is these days. Tell someone not to do something, and they're going to be more emboldened to do it. Or if you have somebody else in the league who comes off as a B, and I feel very comfortable saying that about Diana Taurasi for the clip that we're about to play, that's just going to make people want to do it more because there's a big likability problem in the league. It's not everyone, but there are certain players, and I think Diana Taurasi has had this problem where she was talking trash about Caitlin Clark before she even played. I think Angel Reese has had this problem, but I think she is learning from her mistakes. There's a lot of players in the WNBA who have come off as extremely unlikable. Kelsey Plum recently with that weird like pettiness, like, not everybody was at the meeting when we were talking about how we needed to be paid more. Like, there's a lot of this going on. And this clip from Diana Taurasi, I got to say, like, this is going to make people want to throw those things on the court.
I'm the best player in the world, and I have to go to a communist country to get paid like a capitalist.
Playing in Europe during the WNBA's offseason, these women were going for 7 or 8 months. They were chasing their value.
One time I came back and I was like, man, my parents have just gotten older and I've missed a big part of it. We weren't making that much money. So generational wealth was coming from going to Russia every year. Now we have to come back home and get paid nothing to play in a harder league in worse conditions against the best competition in the world. The f***ing janitor at the arena made more than me.
I guess she's trying to make a point here, but, I mean, it's demeaning to the poor guy who's doing the worst job that there is. That is a valued job, you know? But just because the person does that job doesn't mean that they're less than you. And I get the frustration that in Russia, for whatever reason, they pay more than they pay in the United States. But while things are getting, I guess, a little bit more... As there's more eyeballs now for the WNBA in the United States, thanks to Caitlin Clark. But, I mean, it's due to Caitlin Clark. It's not due to anyone else. It's not due to anything else. And I think a lot of players are having a tough time with that. And on top of that, you know, when you look at all these players and the pushback that's going on and the complaining about the equal pay... I mean, the league just doesn't draw as many eyeballs except for stupid stories like this or quotes from Angel Reese or Diana Taurasi where these players seem unlikable. So this is just something that going forward, if the WNBA wants this to stop, they can't yell about it. They can't demand that people stop doing it. And more than that, they got to stop coming off as completely unlikable. Sophie Cunningham, likable, down to earth, doesn't take herself seriously. The league needs more of that. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. We are live at BB's Cajun Cantina in Katy. Come out, hang out with us on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. Stay put.